continue this study of our message on the book of Exodus. And we are here at Exodus chapter 14. The Lord shall fight for you, the first thought, and ye shall hold your peace, the second thought, verses 1 to 14a and 14b to 31. As we consider the first steps of nationhood, part 2, we said the will of God cannot be resisted. It is futile to go against the will of God. It is in His good pleasure that all things come to pass. And we cannot resist the hand of God. God's will cannot be thwarted. He is altogether sovereign. Only He is God, and we are not. We are to submit to His higher hand in the sovereign affairs of the things that happens around us, from the nations, His will enacted in the lives of the nations, to His will enacted in the affairs of the home, and in leading us through life, to lead us to salvation through the name of His Son. Job says, I know that Thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withholden from Thee. God knows all things, and He does all things according to His sovereign will. Psalm 135, verse 6 says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth and in the sea, and all deep places. And in the study of His Word, we come to the understanding of His revelation of Himself to us, to help us to see who He is, that there is an invisible God who does all things, that enacts all things that happens to us in life. So for the nation of Israel, it was God's sovereign will that Israel will come into existence. And we see Him fulfilling His good will in the Exodus and throughout human history. We are often asked this question. And Israelites would ask, why did He make them from a people to become a nation? How is it that He puts you into the family that you are in now? How is it that He gives you your father, your mother, your children, your grandchildren? How is it that you are placed in such an environment? Well, we want to trace all of this to God, and that His invisible existence in the lives of His people. So Moses wrote, he said, in Deuteronomy 7, 6 to 10, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep His oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, have the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that loved Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate Him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth Him. He will repay him to his face. And God has chosen us by His good pleasure, by the good pleasure of His will, that we be His very own. How do we know? Or how can we understand? How can we understand that He would save us at certain point in our lives. Some of us were saved when we were young. Some of us were saved only when we are old. And there are those who are saved when they are very old. We see God in His sovereignty extending His love to us in the fullness of His own time. And so Paul says in the book of Ephesians, "Blessed be the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." How is it that God would want to choose us to be His children? Sometimes we ask ourselves, and Israel did a lot of soul searching as God brought them out from Egypt into the wilderness. They asked themselves, "What do you bring us out here to the wilderness for? Why should we be living with such a fleeting existence in the wilderness, not knowing what will be for us next?" But God has a plan, you see. God has promised their forefathers that they are going to not stay in the wilderness forever, but God is going to bring them to a land of milk and honey that He has promised to them, a promised land that is flowing with milk and honey. So Paul says to the Christians in Ephesians 1:11-12, "In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ." And then in another part of Scripture it says, "Being confident of this one thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform unto the day of Jesus Christ." Yesterday we were going through the Bible class on the assurance of salvation, and we were quoting this verse, right? How when God has placed His love toward you, and that He wants to do you good, He would continue persisting to do you good for all your life. You know, His good toward you, His love toward you is never diminished, is never reduced. And the Lord wants us to have that kind of assurance. So Paul said to the church in Philippi, "Being confident of this very thing, He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." The same for us. God has begun a witness and outreach for us here in this place. How do we know that this is the will of God? Well, we prayed and sought the Lord, and He led us step by step by His sovereign will to do what we are doing today. Establishing a witness for Him, registering a church for His own glory in this part of Singapore. And what God had begun, we said, He will see to the fruition of His will in our lives, in the direction of homes and nations. He alone is God. We realize that He is God, and that as we seek to study the Scriptures, we seek to know His mind, seek to know His will, so that we may align ourselves to do His will for our lives and receive for ourselves His blessings. We saw last week the beginning of modern Israel on the 14th of May 1948. How modern Israel was resurrected again after 2,000 years in oblivion. They were scattered, dispersed to the four corners of the earth, and by the sovereign will of God, they were brought back as a nation. placed for you two maps here. Two maps to help us to see how modern Israel had to fight many battles on many fronts in their first steps to nationhood, just as God was with Israel when they came out of Egypt to go to the wilderness. God was with Israel when Israel came back to the land. It was the sovereign will of God that they would return to Israel. They would come back in the fullness of time. And we want to trace this to see God doing what He will. And we have the scriptures today to help us to see what God did for Israel when they came out of Egypt, what God commanded Moses, and step by step how God parted the Red Sea, how God sent a pillar of cloud, you know, and darkness upon the Egyptian army so that they could not come close to them while they were escaping through the Red Sea upon dry land. We are saying here that God is establishing the modern nation of Israel, and the unwritten script is that the Lord was doing all this, right, to establish this nation. So if you look at your map, in the first map there, you see the scenario. One day into nationhood, on the 15th of May 1948, there were six Arab nations, right, those of Egypt, Syria. Now, in 1948, it was not just one nation, right, one army pursuing them. In the time of the Exodus, about 1400 BC, when they came out of Egypt, there was only one nation pursuing them. But here, six nations, six Arab armies, those of Egypt, Syria, Transjordan, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, and Iraq, invaded Israel. The black arrow, you see, showed the principal attacks from outside Palestine. And you see the mesh area, we showed the territory allocated by the United Nations to them, but overrun by the Arabs between 15th of May and 1st of June 1948. So you see, one day after they were declared a sovereign nation by the United Nations, they were invaded. They had to fight for their existence. Right? The enemy wanted to push them into the sea. And the white portion showed the territory remaining under Israeli control on 1st of June 1948. And then there is another map which I place for you. The 15-second map gives to us the battle, how the state of Israel fought to retain its independence against the combined forces of six Arab nations during Israel's struggle for independence from November 1947 to January 1949. More than 4,000 Jewish soldiers and 200 civilians were killed out of a total Jewish population of only 650,000. And we also observe, if you look at the map, how the regular forces of the neighboring countries with their equipment and their armaments enjoy superiority at that time. The enemies were more powerful in terms of military equipment, and it seemed that the odds were against them. The armies surrounding them were much bigger, greater number. And how is it that they were able to overcome Yigael Yadin on the 21st of May 1948? Said he was the chief of operations of the Israeli army. He says, however, evaluation of the possibilities cannot be merely a military consideration of arms against arms and units against units. Since we do not have those arms or that armored force, the problem is to what extent our men will be able to overcome enemy forces by virtue of their fighting spirit, of our planning and tactics, he says. Indeed, we see God fighting for them. It was against overwhelming odds to bring to pass his promise that they would return to their land and that their role as his witness in the last days and the first steps of nationhood in their battles fought against their invading neighbors. Isaiah 11 to 12 gives to us this prophecy. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Patros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So this took place in reality. 948, they became a nation. And Isaiah 11 verse 13 to 15 tells us what happened. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines towards the west, and they shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them, and the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river and smite it in the seven streams and make men go dry and short. So their dispersal and their gathering was all in the sovereign hand of God. God is working out his purpose for this nation, in first forming the nation and now again in modern times in establishing themselves again as a people. Now you may be asking this question, why is it that Israel was dispersed to the four corners of the earth? Well, they departed from the Lord and they crucified their Messiah. This was a warning that was given to Israel even before they entered the promised land, that if they would depart from the Lord, then the Lord would take them out of the land. Deuteronomy 28:58-68 is this record. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful and the plagues of thy seed, and even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Now, when God plagued the Egyptians, they saw how the Egyptians suffered. And the Lord says, if you are disobedient, then these diseases will come upon you too. And they shall cleave unto thee. And every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon thee, until thou be destroyed, and ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldst not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it came to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you. Scary scenario. And to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all the people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there shalt thou serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no peace, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing eyes, and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were even, or at even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning, for the fear of thy heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thy eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, and by the way whereof I speak unto thee, thou shalt see him no more, and there shall be, and ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. So this was Israel's history. God did good to them, but they rejected the Lord. And here we see God did not leave them to their sins, but in the fullness of time, God regathered them together again. 2,000 years, modern Israel. The first steps towards nationhood was no less dramatic. And this is page 5 of your notes. In fact, with great awe, Lord told Moses and to tell the frightened Israelites when they saw the Egyptians pursuing them, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So we must be wondering, why is it that God allowed Israel, modern Israel, to become a nation again? Did God's word say something about this? Well, the late Reverend Timothy Toh, he said in the preface of his book, Periscope on Israel, concerning the establishment of modern Israel, he said, as Israel plays a major part in God's plan of salvation for a lost mankind, from the call of Abraham to the birth of the Savior by a young Jewish virgin, so is she predestined to the center stage of current history to bring in the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the reason why God is establishing the nation of Israel today is to finally bring to fruition His return, the greatest prophecy that is still unfulfilled. So Reverend further said, he said, this being the case, the study of the rise and fall and rise of Israel throughout the ages, culminating in her regathering as a nation today, is of paramount importance to alert us, as the fig tree shooting tender leaves is harbinger of summer, so must we be awakened to the nearness of His coming by an Israel so prominent in world affairs today. The proscope of Israel is a small attempt on our part, he says, to stir up the church, to stir up young souls that they might consider what they must do in the short future before them, and to prod the thinking of every Christian to what greater extent we should serve the Lord before He returns. So here we are saying that the first steps of Israel out of Egypt, Egyptian bondage, on the road to become a full-fledged nation. To you. So the point is this, right, that Israel is going to be formed as a full-fledged nation. And God's witness to the nations of the world is such that His purpose cannot be thwarted. So the two thoughts that we want to see: the Lord shall fight for you, verses 1 to 14a, and ye shall hold your peace, verses 14b to 31. We see the first four verses. The Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, and over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. And Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. And the Lord says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, and that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. So we see the Lord informing Moses to expect that they leave Egypt, Pharaoh will come after them, and they will be trapped, but he will send them deliverance. See, this life that we have is with God, and he leads us by his gentle hand, and he leads us through good times, so-called bad times. The psalmist says, he leads me through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23. And we want to acknowledge that we have a God who is like a shepherd to us. We are his sheep. And when we have him with us, we shall have no lack. He will take care of all our needs. And so the psalmist says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He says that thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know what he's saying is that while their enemies are pursuing after them, right, God is preparing a table that they may still relief, they may still be able to partake in peace their meal. Indeed, for Israel, this was the case. Right? God sent darkness, God sent a pillar of cloud to confound the Egyptians, Pharaoh and his chariots, so that they could not come near him at all. And this is the God that we serve. The people of God acknowledge, we are to acknowledge that we are indeed the sheep of his pasture, and to be willing to come under his care. Life with God is the cup overflowing with blessings. His goodness shall supply every want, mercy to forgive every sin. His goodness to provide, his mercy to pardon. F.B. Mayer. Wonderful blessings that God gives to his people. If we have God with us, we continue to seek him. He indeed guide us. May we choose to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Enjoy the fellowship and intimacy with the Almighty. Verse 5 to verse 10 is described for us how the Egyptians knew that the Israelites have escaped and they are leaving, and how they garner all their chariots. Verse 6 says, and he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots. So the chariots are the modern equivalent of tanks, modern tanks that come, you know, rolling with all the ammunition to destroy. So Israel was in imminent danger. But God was there for His people. We would want to understand that God is still on the throne. That God is, He will not suffer His people to lose their witness for His glory. He will intervene in His own time and pleasure to secure His people. So here you see how the Egyptian army, they were led by angry Pharaoh to give chase. But God was there to make a way for them. It is during those times of danger, as we walk with God, that we think that we are faced with the decision to keep trusting God or to give up. The lesson we want to learn here is that we need to continue to trust the Lord. Verse 10. And Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried up unto the Lord. They were afraid because they saw the chariots coming against them. Danger. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? That is how we would think. We become doubtful, we become discouraged easily. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Now, what are you doing with us here? How is it that all these things are happening? Is not this the word that we tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone? Did we not tell you, go away, we don't want to leave Egypt, leave us here, we want to continue to be slaves in Egypt. We want to continue to be in our sins. Why did you free us from the bondage of sin? And now we are led, you know, into this trial before us. Notice that there will not be a lack of trials and temptations befalling God's people. But He will send them to prove us. So that in the testing, by the words we say, by the thoughts that we think, right, the Lord would be able to help us to see who we really are. And God's people are exhorted to keep trusting Him through every life's impasse, to keep faith, to continue to delight in Him, to do that which is pleasing in His sight. He shall make a way for His people. The psalmist says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall be soon be cut off like the grass, wither as the green herb. Indeed, Pharaoh will be cut off at the Red Sea. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So, God's people are exhorted to cultivate patience, to wait upon God, to see His glory. He will not leave them, nor forsake them. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. So Moses assured the people of of God, of His presence with them, to safeguard and to protect them and to keep them for His name's sake. So Israel, the Lord fought for Israel that day. If you look at modern Israel, how they managed, you know, through those difficult times, and the unwritten script is that the Lord was with them. If they call up to the Lord, I believe they call up to the Lord, those who know Him. And ye shall hold your peace, that's the second thought. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward, but lift up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So God instructed Moses how deliverance will come. He is to take his staff, and he is to place it right in the middle of the sea, and he would see how the sea would part. Jesus said to his people, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Matthew 9:26 and Luke 1:37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For what man is there of you whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Israel, as they cry out to God, they saw God's deliverance. Israel shall experience the mighty power of God to save them that day. Verse 17. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon his host, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh. So every word that the Lord has spoken to Moses came to pass. All these things is quite incredible. Right? Whatever that God's word says will come to pass. The angel of the Lord, verse 19, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of the Israelites, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. So there was a separation that the Lord gave. Although, you know, they were not that far away from each other, but the cloud and the darkness separated them. On the one hand, the Egyptians saw only darkness. They could not move anywhere. But for the Israelites, they saw light. They saw the dry path. They could cross. You see how God, how amazing our Lord is. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall upon unto them on their right hand and on their left. So the angel of God was sent to place to part the sea, and so that they could cross the most critical moment. And what happened? Well, the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea. Even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked into the host of the Philistines, the Egyptians, through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and troubled the host of the Philistines, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. So they couldn't move. The Lord discomfited them. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, and the waters that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians and upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. So the Egyptians were mad with anger as they pursued the Israelites with their chariots. And when the morning came, the Lord caused the waters to return again upon the Egyptians. So Moses stretched forth his hand and returned, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fell. Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the Lord and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after that, and there remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were warm unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the Lord, the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. The Egyptian army was destroyed in the midst of the sea when the wall of water fell upon them, while Israel reached the other shore and was brought to safety. What a deliverance! And as we study those two maps, you'll be able to see how God delivered upon Israel and how He's fulfilling His purpose. The same God who had created all things is the same God who will bring His purpose to fruition. And we, as His church today, are doing His will as His people, as a witness for Him here in His vicinity. May the Lord help us to do His will, be willing to serve Him, be willing to follow Him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. The Lord shall fight for you. He shall hold your peace. He shall see greater things as we trust Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Lord, we thank Thee for the encouragement that nothing is impossible with Thee. Lord, we want to trust Thee. We want to serve Thee. May Thou be gracious to help us. We pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.